Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
I'm Allison Klein, and I'm here with Jeff Ravencraft. Jeff, you have an interesting role at Intel. Tell me what you do.
Well, when I talk to people in the industry, or lay people, so to speak, I basically tell them I'm a technology evangelist. I do a lot of industry work on new technologies, but I'm really out there getting the industry behind a particular technology that Intel and other companies are interested in.
And you have a role on the USB forum as well, correct?
Yeah, officially, my title is I'm a technology strategist with Intel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm focused on USB and wireless USB technologies at Intel. And as part of that role, I'm also the USBIF, which is a trade association. I'm the president and chairman of the USB Implementers Forum. I'm also the Wireless USB Promoter Group chairman and USB 3 Promoter Group chairman and USB 2.0 Promoter Group chairman.
So you are Mr. USB.
Yes, so to speak, you could say that.
Well, out of all the technologies on ChipChat that we've talked about, I can say that USB is actually one that my mother would know what we were talking about. And I don't think that anyone who listens to ChipChat doesn't know what USB is and hasn't used it every day. But you did mention something interesting, wireless USB. Tell me a little bit about what that is.
Well, wireless USB is basically just USB without the wire. Wireless USB, the protocol, is really based upon running over or operating on a Y-media, ultra-wideband radio.
Okay.
And ultra-wideband gives us the capability to do very short-range, high data rate wireless communication, which is a perfect fit for the USB model, which is really high data rate peripheral interconnect to your computer or intelligent host. And the fact of the matter is that the consumer is getting used to being untethered and the flexibility of being wireless. And so with wireless USB, we believe the future of mobility for the consumer is they want access to anything, anything they want,
mm-hmm.
when they want it, where they want it, on any device they want it on. But it's got to be easy for them to get to and to use and manage. It's got to be reliable and secure. And so we believe that wireless USB really brings that future of mobility directly to the consumer.
What are the initial devices that we think will have wireless USB, and are they out in the market right now?
They are. We just announced the end of July the first 6 certified end-user wireless USB products through the USBIF. We had notebooks from Dell and Lenovo,
mm-hmm.
and then we had aftermarket products from IoGear, D-Link, and Belkin in the form of a wireless hub for your legacy devices, and then what we call a dongle, or it's about the size of a USB flash drive for your legacy PC.
Okay, great. So it sounds like the infrastructure is just starting to be built out, and it'll proliferate right. like any other USB device.
Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned the word certified. What is certified wireless USB?
Well, as part of the role of the USBIF, and that role really is we have a certification and compliance program. And what we do is companies can bring their products, and we'll test them to make sure that they're compliant to the specification, that they interoperate, to the spec and interoperate with other products that bear our logos. And if they pass those tests, then they become certified. And if the company, after passing the test, has signed a trademark license agreement with the USBIF, then they can use our logos, both wired and our wireless logo, on their products.
Okay. And so that just gives the consumer a bit of extra confidence in the products, correct?
Yeah, and we market the brands to the industry, the channel, and to the consumer at large. And we try to have that whole push-pull. We educate the retailers, we educate the consumer, and try to bring them together and really educate them to look for the logo.
I recently was on the USBIF website and saw a pretty funny video on a guy highlighting how many different devices are available on USB, and I'd encourage our ChipChat listeners to go and take a look at that too. How many classes of devices do we think are available on USB today? Do you guys have any idea?
I don't have a count. It's just ubiquitous over all kinds of crazy devices today. on not only, you know, high-tech, sophisticated devices, but also very low-tech, fun consumer products that we had no idea USB would ever show up there.
I guess it just shows the power of innovation in the industry. When you give them a cool interconnect that's easy to design to, they'll find different things to do with it.
And easy to use.
Exactly. Let's turn towards the future. The USB initiative just announced the next generation of the technology. Tell me a little bit about that.
Intel, working with the industry, has formed the USB 3 promoter group. And that promoter group consists of Intel working with HP, Microsoft, NEC, NXP, and Texas Instruments. And the real goal of the promoter group is to define the USB 3 specification. And the key feature benefits are that we want to deliver an over 10x performance increase over high-speed USB. We want to deliver this, what we call fast sync-and-go capability or benefit for the consumer, which is really minimizing the user's wait time to do their transactions between their host and their device with high, rich digital content. Because we know that the consumer gets very impatient with technology. They think it should be doing things better, faster, and they shouldn't have to wait a long time. And so with that in mind, we have an example of downloading a 27-gigabyte HD movie. Today, in high-speed USB, would take 14 to 15 minutes. With super-speed USB, that would take 70 seconds.
Wow. So remind me, how fast is high-speed USB today?
High-speed USB is up to 480 megabits per second.
So 10 times faster, 4.8 gig per second.
Over 10 times.
Wow, that's going to be really fast. And what type of length of time do you think that technology will, you know, when will that emerge and how long will that last in the industry?
So we're actually looking at having the spec completed in the first half of 2008. Based upon that, companies will begin to make products. We're anticipating having discrete silicon solutions in early 2009 that would then lead to probably seeing that in an end product in late 2009, early 2010.
And are there any technical challenges to delivering a 5 gigabit per second interconnect to the, you know, low-cost, ubiquitous devices that are required by USB?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Developing something that runs that fast. And again, one of the things I want to comment on is the protocol will be really agnostic to what the pipe is or the media. I mean, it could be optical, it could be copper, and the protocol really isn't going to care. If the pipe's supplied to it, we're going to build it to run on it and build it for performance, even scalable above this 10x improvement. But it's complicated technology, and not only that, but getting the signaling and the pins and all those things into a backward-compatible connector. So that the same connector that companies use for USB 2.0 today, or high-speed USB, be the same connector, same form factor for USB 3.
So, Jeff, you mentioned the consumer, and I think I've got an idea of this, but when you talk about the consumer, who are you thinking about?
You know, it's a great question because in this technology world, as you know, right, everyone that's involved in it, we talk this talk, and we all know this, you know, virtualization and, you know, AMT and dual core and, you know, terabytes of stuff, right? But that's, you and I aren't the consumer that I'm talking about. The consumer that I'm talking about is my brother Frank, who lives in Dayton, Ohio. And my brother Frank doesn't know anything about technology, and he doesn't want to know, and he doesn't really care. What he does know and what he's willing to do is pay money for products that he sees a feature that will make his life better or easier or funner in some way. And he's willing to pay for that technology and use it if it's easy to use. That's the consumer I'm talking about. And there are millions and millions of these people all over the world that have no clue about what technology really is or how it works or care. In that vein, the USBIF, we have a viral marketing campaign that we're doing right now called frankscubicle.com.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Kind of based on my brother Frank. That's at least where we got the name. And it's really targeted at 30 or younger crowd, college student teenagers, who are all doing all really getting marketed to over the internet and then spreading the word to their friends and friends' friends. And so I would encourage folks that are listening to go out to frankscubicle.com
I actually spent a good part of a day in a meeting on frankscubicle.com. I won't tell my boss that. but I would encourage our Chip Chat listeners to take a look at that because it is a fun site. Well, it sounds like you and the promoters group have some challenges ahead of you.
You know, these technologies are really sophisticated technologies, and they take time from conceptually, you know, forming a group to define a spec to getting silicon built to actual products and the software stack and all those things have to come together. It's like making dinner for someone. You have to have the toast come up with the eggs or it's not breakfast. And so the neat thing is the products that I talked about that we certified are in the market today from iOGear, Belkin, D-Link, Dell, and Lenovo. So wireless USB, it's here, it's now, it's real. You can get it today.
And I want it. I am one of those impatient people, so I'll be looking forward to it coming out on my computer and my devices in the future. Thanks for being with us today, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.